The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is the 5 o'clock hour. You're listening to AM 880 and 104.5 FM WRFD. Thank you for joining me, and I've dealt with this topic often, possibly not enough, and that's depression. Depression is real. It is serious. And before I say another word, I want to say this. If you need help, get help, please. For your sake. For the sake of those who love you, if you need help, get help. Please do not allow the stigma that sometimes is associated with depression to keep you from getting help. And that's one of my pet peeves in our churches today. The stigma that some people have towards people who are suffering with depression. We don't do that with any other illness. We don't do that with diabetics or people who have liver disease or kidney disease or lung cancer or skin cancer or whatever. We don't attach a stigma to those things, but we do with depression. And depression is real. It is genuine. And you don't just pray it away any more than you pray away diabetes. Now, depression is different from the other physical maladies that we have because it always involves the brain, our emotions, and our feelings. So there is an emotional and spiritual dimension involved in depression that is not involved with lung disease, heart disease, diabetes, or whatever. But it is still an illness. And if you've heard me say this, and I've said this hundreds of times, please forgive the repetition, but it's important. I am diabetic because there's something wrong with my pancreas. My pancreas does not process insulin, sugars, and so forth. There's a deficiency in my pancreas. And I think for me, it's genetic. Diabetes runs in my family. My dad was diabetic. And anyway. All right. It is because of a deficiency in an organ of my body. If you have kidney disease, why do you have kidney disease? Because there's a problem with an organ of your body. Depression involves the brain. The brain is an organ of the body, just like the kidney, the liver, the lungs, except it's probably 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times more complex than the kidney or the pancreas or the liver. So if we can believe that even as Christians, we have a deficiency in a liver, a kidney, lungs, heart, why is it so hard to believe that there may be a deficiency in the brain? Now, again, are they exactly the same? No, but there are real similarities. And the reason I go through that every time I talk about this is to try to erase the stigma of depression. Oh, you're depressed. You must not be praying enough. You must have unconfessed sin in your life. You're not reading your Bible enough. Can you imagine saying that to a diabetic? Oh, you're diabetic? Well, you must not be praying enough. You must not be reading your Bible enough. And yet we do that with people who are suffering from depression. And we've got to stop it, because that does nothing to help the person. Now, again, there is always an emotional and spiritual dimension to depression, but if there is a chemical imbalance, if there is a deficiency in the brain, chemical-wise, balance-wise, etc., it's very possible that you can't apply the biblical truths that will help you. You can't process it. Again, like my pancreas can't process insulin and so forth. And again, I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, I'm not a medical doctor, but I hope that makes sense. Are antipsychotic drugs overprescribed? Yes. Is the spiritual aspect of depression omitted often? Yes. But there's got to be a balance in all of this. Now, here's the reason why I bring this up today. And we're seeing more and more and more of this. A pastor of a fairly large church in Idaho just took his life a couple of days ago. Senior pastor of Real Life Ministries in Silver Valley, Idaho, was found dead in a mountainous area outside of the city. He was reported missing the day before yesterday. He had a 6 a.m. meeting at the church. He lived just a few blocks from the church, and he almost always walked. He had a 6 a.m. meeting at the church to meet with some men. I think it was a Bible study, prayer meeting, and so forth. He left his home at 5:30 a.m. The Ring camera at his house recorded him leaving and walking to the churches, what he usually did. He didn't show up at the church. 8:30, they're getting worried. The meeting was at 6. They call his wife at home. No, he left. He was going to the church. He was walking. He's not there. No, he's not here. Police were called. Missing person alert was issued. And I think it was late that evening, they found him on a trail where he had hiked often. He was an outdoorsy person, and he was dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He killed himself. A pastor, husband, father, Christian, follower of Jesus, lover of Jesus. His congregation is shocked because of his deep love for Christ and his desire to minister. But he was suffering from depression. This was Tuesday of this week. He was found Tuesday evening. And yesterday it was revealed that he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. I have no idea about his personal life. I don't know whether he sought help. I don't know whether he was open with his family about his depression. I don't know whether the leadership of the church knew that he was struggling with depression. I don't know any of those things. And I don't want to jump to any conclusions. But this man of God, and we're seeing more and more pastors in the last 2 years, I've reported to you a number of pastors who have taken their own life. No, pastors are not exempt. In fact, sometimes the pressures of ministry become so great. But folks, depression is real. There are answers. If you need help, get help.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Just one more thing before we move on to other things. If you know someone who is suffering from depression, please encourage them. Please reach out. We often say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know that there's any right thing to say. Sometimes people just need to know, hey, I'm here. I you're loved. I love you. God loves you. What can I do to help? How can I encourage you? Reach out to them. Depression is real. And it's difficult to deal with. It is. And Christians are not exempt. They are not. And one more time, we must end the stigma in the church concerning depression. We've got to end the stigma. All right. Now, to current events. Columbia University has this problem. A student encampment. A large group, hundreds of anti-Israel pro-terrorist protesters have taken over a large portion of the campus. Now, the president of Columbia University got tough. Yeah, she just testified before Congress on Tuesday, I think it was. And congressmen and women were asking her, what are you going to do? There's an enormous amount of anti-Semitism on your campus. And so she decided to get tough. And so she issued an ultimatum. She told the protesters, you have till midnight to get off of campus. We're going to give you till midnight to take down the tents. Act lawfully. If you don't do it by midnight, that's the deadline. We're going to call in the police and we're going to have you removed. Well, that was, I'm pretty sure that was Tuesday, that the ultimatum was given by the president of Columbia University that midnight was the line in the sand. Well, midnight came. Nobody left. No, nobody. And so she did what any decisive leader would do. She said, would you pretty please leave? And I tell you what, we'll give you two more days. We'll give you 48 hours. Now, in the meantime, she's saying, well, we're going to dialogue. We're going to get together and we'll decide what concessions the university will make and what concessions the students will make. Well, as is often the case, the students here are showing more, I hate to use the word courage because what they're doing is wrong. But anyway, one of the leaders of the student organization said, since good faith negotiations are impossible, if one side threatens use of force to extract concessions, the student negotiating team has left the table. and refuses to return until there is a written commitment that the administration will not be unleashing the NYPD or the National Guard on its students. Now, wouldn't you think that that would be exactly the time when the administration of Columbia University said, excuse me, you're the students, you are violating the law, you are causing the problem, you don't make demands of us concerning how we're going to deal with this, and if we need to bring in the police and even the National Guard, count on it. We will do it. So, in other words, the students are saying to the university, we refuse to leave until you promise us that you won't make us leave. Wow. What wonderful negotiations. So, anyway, we will see. There is a continuing cry for the president of Columbia to resign. She so far has refused. But so far, the students have gotten everything they wanted. Yeah. And speaking of that, Columbia University has a associate college called Barnard College. Barnard, B-A-R-N-A-R-D, elite, very expensive college associated with Columbia University. Well, one of the students at Barnard College is Isra Hirsi. Who in the world is Isra Hirsi? Well, she is the daughter of Ilhan Omar, the radical leftist pro-Palestinian, pro-terrorist member of Congress. Yeah, her daughter is a student at Barnard College. Well, she was arrested because she was a part of a, quote, Gaza solidarity encampment. Yeah, she was arrested, and Barnard College has suspended her, the daughter of an American congresswoman. And now the 21-year-old daughter attending this elite, expensive college is crying and whining because now she is homeless. Yeah. She said, quote, I was a little bit frantic, like, where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to go? And also, all of my blank blank is thrown in a random lot. It's pretty horrible. I don't know when I can go home, and I don't know if I ever will be able to. Is she homeless? No, she can go home to mama if she wants to. She's obviously got tons of money. And she said she's homeless, she has no food to eat because she's been suspended and can't eat in the school cafeteria anymore. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll return.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.